If you're a parent, teacher, or school leader, and you're sick and tired of the frustration, anger, and unfair treatment of children at high risk in our public schools, then perhaps it's time for all of us to do something about it. In this podcast, Dr. Amitra Berry brings you tips, tools, strategies, and tactics to build successful solutions while touching, moving, and inspiring all of us to transform our schools so that every child thrives. Here's your host, Dr. Berry.
Welcome back, Equity Warriors. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the 3E Podcast. I'm going to take a little turn today, for lack of a better word. And I'm not going to talk about politics. I'm going to talk about history. You know, some of the greatest dangers of history, or his story, as it's practiced in America, are erasism, whitewashing, and minimizing or completely distorting the facts in favor of a biased narrative. There is a history of laying claim to discoveries and inventions, creating a false narrative that uplifts white people and ignores or minimizes or completely distorts the contributions of people of color and communities of color. Now, I don't generally respond to people who complain about my content on social media. Frankly, if you don't have anything better to do with your time than to listen to my podcast and then complain about the content, I do want to at least thank you. I appreciate the view, the click. But what I will do is correct the record. If you are trying to state facts that are erroneous, I'm not going to let that stand, because I can change the things I can no longer accept, and that is something that I cannot accept. So where is this coming from? Well, I have this critic who was responding to one of the shorts, a clip from a podcast on social media, and here's what the critic wrote. Here's the quote. Culturally, you're using the white man's computer, phone, camera, paper, and language. You're welcome. End quote. Computer, phone, camera, paper, language. There is so much incorrect, erroneous, non-factual falsehood, or perhaps just plain ignorance in that sentence. I just could not let it go. And I still haven't quite figured out how he came up with culture playing into that statement. Again, ignorance. He should listen more. Complain, yes. But let's start with paper. Paper, he says, the white man created. The word paper comes from the word papyrus. Papyrus was used in ancient Egypt, which, by the way, folks, is in northern Africa. Was used in ancient Egypt and other northern African societies long before paper was invented, we should say, or what we've come to know as paper was invented in China. The first true papermaking process was documented in China during the Eastern Han period, 25 to 220 AD, long, long, long time ago. The development of what we think of as paper in China is attributed to a court official by the name of Kai Lun. And Kai Lun came up with this idea of forming sheets of paper from this mixture of macerated tree bark, hemp waste, old rags, and, get this, fishnets. So there you have it. Paper, coming from the papyrus invented by Egyptians in Africa and the Chinese in Asia. No white men present. Okay, let's talk about the computer, my critic says, came from white men. And I'm going to cover several contributions all made by Black people in America, African Americans. And I'm going to start with a man by the name of Otis Boykin, who created the wire precision electrical resistor. And folks, I'm going to be talking about things that I don't completely understand, but I did double and triple check my facts and the actual technology where it came from. So I may not completely understand what it does, but I can tell you where it came from. So Otis Boykin, the wire precision electrical resistor, that device made it possible for our TVs, our computers, our radios to be the devices that we rely on today. His work also, completely aside from computers, helped lead to the implantable pacemaker. You know, that medical device that's used by millions of people to treat heart conditions, no matter what color those people are. Thank you, Mr. Boykin. And then there's Mark Dean, a computer scientist, engineer, and a named IBM fellow who assisted in creating the first gigahertz chip. The color PC monitor, maybe some of you don't remember when the color on a monitor was black, green, or what was it, green, red, or blue was all you could do to change the text color. No pictures. That was color monitors. So the color PC monitor, a bunch of other things. His work paved the way for what we know today as computer and gaming consoles. So when you are playing that game that's in vivid color or looking at your computer screen or your phone screen that's in color, thank Mr. Dean. And then there is Jesse Russell. Mr. Russell is in the field of cellular communication. So when you pick up your smartphone, I want you to think of Jesse Russell, who has numerous patents in the field. His innovations include the wireless communication base station. Remember back when you first went off the Princess phone or the phone that, well, some of you won't remember because you're far too young, that phone that hung on the kitchen wall and all of a sudden you had this base station and a handset you could pick up and walk away from where the phone was. No more stretching the cord 15 feet to get inside a closet to try and have a private conversation. So thank you, Jesse Russell. And then there's Roy Clay. Roy Clay was a computer science pioneer. Back in the 1960s, he led the team at Hewlett-Packard, HP, that came out with the 2116A. If you are a true computer person, I'm sure you know what that device is. Mr. Clay also developed software for the computer. And then we have Frank Green, an electrical engineer, an inventor, a teacher, and an advocate. I like that about him. Mr. Green created the high-speed semiconductor computer memory system. One of the world leaders in semiconductor technology, he created a patent for the integrated circuit. Your computer would not work without it. And let's not forget about the ladies. Dr. Shirley Jackson, who holds a doctoral degree in particle physics, way above my head. Her work led to the touchtone phone. Some folks might not remember, there used to be a dial and you'd spin the dial and it would click, 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 click back. Remember that old dial phone? So Dr. Jackson, touchtone phone, the portable fax, fiber optic cable that gives us the amazing speed that we have on our internet today on computer. She collaborated on research that was related to charge density waves. I don't know what those are, but they allow for high temperature semiconductors and that has all sorts of technological applications. This woman, this brilliant, brilliant physicist, Dr. Jackson, was appointed by President Bill Clinton to be chair of the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission. And there you have it. The computer, impossible without the contributions of several Black Americans, not discovered or invented by white men. Okay, Mr. Critic. We're going to move on to the cell phone now. Maybe you actually listened to the podcast on a cell phone. We have a man by the name of Henry Sampson, a Black man who was a nuclear engineering pioneer. In 1967, he became the first African American in the United States to earn a PhD in nuclear engineering. Go, Dr. Sampson. He co-created the gamma electric cell back in 1972. He used radio waves to transmit and receive audio signals. That's, you know, kind of how we work on a cell phone. And then Motorola used the technology that he created to develop the first cell phone. Remember the old Motorola flip phone or the big giant bag phone? Yeah, say thank you, Dr. Samson. And there's something on our phones that many of us would truly be lost without. You know that GPS system, the Google Map, the Apple Map, how your Uber or Lyft driver finds you, how your DoorDash delivery gets to your door, or how you track the driver who's bringing your food to you, all those applications that rely on location services. I want you to say thank you to Dr. Gladys West, a remarkable Black woman. It was her work in the 1960s at the U.S. Naval Weapons Lab that established the early foundations of GPS technology. You see, Dr. West developed the algorithms and the computer software that was critical to processing satellite data. She also worked on the mathematical modeling of the Earth's shape, which is allowing or crucial for getting an accurate calculation of satellite orbits and positions. Her work directly contributed to the accuracy and reliability of the GPS system that we know and love and use today. So there's that. Now, for those of you who work from home, or maybe you no longer work from home, used to work from home, even at the office, did you ever use voice over IP, VoIP? Now, I use VoIP on a Zoom call. You use it on a WhatsApp. You use it on Skype. Think Marion Rogers Croke, Vice President of Engineering at Google. This amazing woman was former Senior Vice President of Research and Development at AT&T. This woman holds more than 200 patents. She was inducted into the Women in Technology International Hall of Fame back in 2013 and inducted into the National Inventors Hall of Fame for her patent regarding VoIP, Voice Over Internet Protocol technology. Again, an amazing Black woman. So whether it's cell phones or computers, there are also the raw materials that are necessary to make these devices, and those raw materials require global cooperation. And one of the most significant continents for supplying those raw materials is Africa. So we need global cooperation and eco-friendly practices if we're going to have sustainable production of cell phones and other technology. This is not, my dear critic, something invented by white men, done only by white men. Our computers require semiconductors and chips. A mineral called tantalum is crucial for the circuitry in our smartphones, and it comes mainly from the Democratic Republic of Congo in Africa, Rwanda in Africa, and Brazil in Latin America. So for those who may be geographically challenged, like my dear critic, two countries on the African continent, third country in the Latin American continent, South America. None of those three continents are in Europe. None of those three continents are white in terms of the race of the people who are there. Our semiconductor industry is interconnected worldwide, and a huge part of that also comes from Asia. So they're my YouTube critic. You would not enjoy the technology that you have were it not for people of color. You have to attempt to demean people of color and claim that your people, that white men invented everything. They didn't. Camera, computer, phone, paper, people of color. They created the technology, the mathematical algorithms. Their continents supply the majority of the raw materials that are required for the production of the things you like to lay claim to. These places are the homes, the origins of people of color. None of that technology, none of those raw materials come from Europe or the United States. And as for cameras, well, I'm guessing you're not talking about the old Kodak or Polaroid, but you're probably talking about the one that's in your cell phone, on your laptop or on your tablet. Well, the computer part of that's been covered, but there are other cameras that we use that are linked to your home security system, right? I want to introduce you to a woman by the name of Marie Von Britton Brown, a Black American from Queens. Back in 1966, she created the first home security system using a closed circuit television. And what she created allowed for her to monitor her front door through a camera that slid into four peepholes. And the camera's view then would show up on a monitor inside of her home so she could see who was coming to the door. That invention included things like a microphone so she could have two-way communication, a button to unlock the door, and a button to contact the police. Now, if that doesn't sound familiar to you in 2024, check out the Ring doorbell, Google, Blink, whatever your home security system is, and then say thank you to Marie Von Britton Brown, a Black woman. Last but not least, I do want to address language. English. Critic, I will give it to you. If you'll pardon the expression, it is the white man's language. You see, my ancestors brought to this country against their will. They spoke Mandinka, Wolof, Yorubu, Kongo, and according to historians who know much more about this than I do, thousands of languages and dialects before they were captured. You might recall back in episode 83 where I did mention that many children in Africa learn to speak up to 14 languages today, 14 languages and dialects as part of their regular compensatory education, what we here in the U.S. call K-12, 14 languages. And that rich multiculturalism that we brought with us has survived to the present day, where we have African-American vernacular, Gullah, Lumbee, Jamaican Patois, other vernaculars and Creoles. These things all remind us of that linguistic legacy. A little passionate about this because social cultural language is the topic of the book that I'm currently researching and writing. So I'll take a moment here. If you're a speaker of or a teacher of children who speak a sociocultural or vernacular language like those I've mentioned, or Chicano English, Appalachian English, Cajun, or Hawaiian Patois, I would love to hear your story. I want to know, how has your language been received or demeaned throughout your life's journey? I'm looking for your stories to include in my book that will focus on the core themes of sociocultural diversity, the importance of understanding and valuing different English vernaculars, and the pursuit of equity in education. I'm going to take a really comprehensive look at how language shapes and is shaped by cultural identities and how it intersects with educational practices and policy. So again, if you're one of those people who speaks a sociocultural language, a vernacular, a patois, a pidgin, get a hold of me. I want to share your personal narratives and reflections within the book to help emphasize the human aspect of sociolinguistic experience. Anyhow, one last note to my YouTube critic again, your English. The correct usage and spelling of the word your in your written text is the contraction of two English words, you and are, and is correctly spelled Y-O-U apostrophe R-E. So if you're going to lay claim to this language, please use it correctly. As for the rest of you equity warriors out there, thank you for listening. And it is, again, election season, so get involved, stay involved. I voted, so please do vote like your life depends on it, because it might. Attend those local school board meetings, advocate through social media, follow me across my channels, repost, share, like, subscribe, and continue to join me every week. Connect with me on social, send me your questions, topics, and requests to info@askdrberry.com. That's info@askdrberry.com. And I'll answer your questions and bring you experts to help address those topics. Don't worry about the things you cannot change. Change the things you can no longer accept. And I'll see you next time.
That's it for today's episode of the 3E Podcast. Head over to iTunes and subscribe to the show. One lucky listener every single week that posts a review on iTunes will win a chance in a grand prize drawing to win a $25,000 value private VIP day with Dr. Berry herself. Be sure to head over to 3epodcast.com. and pick up a free copy of Dr. Berry's Gift. Then join us on the next episode.